This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and 90.9 FM HD2 and online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in today. In this portion of the program, our guest is researcher Jane Margolis. She is the lead author of Stuck in the Shallow End, Education, Race, and Computing. The authors of Stuck in the Shallow End have used as an analogy the historical color line in swimming, a color line born during slavery and that continues today. Nearing the end of their research, the authors came across a news article that began with some statistics, including this one. African American children are 3 times more likely than white children to drown. So what does it mean for African American, Latino, and Latina children to be unprepared for the deep end of the pool of science and technology? What does it mean for the country? Those are a couple of the questions we'll take up this afternoon. For this book, the authors looked at 3 public high schools in Los Angeles, an overcrowded urban high school, a math and science magnet school, and a well-funded school in an affluent neighborhood. 2 offer low-level introductory computing classes. The 3rd offers advanced courses, but very few students of color enroll in them. Listeners, I invite your phone calls this afternoon for our guest, Jane Margolis. Join us with your questions and comments. In the Champaign-Urbana area, the number is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, that number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Jane Margolis is senior researcher at the Institute for Democracy, Education, and Access in the Graduate School of Education and Information Studies at the University of California at Los Angeles. In addition to being lead author of Stuck in the Shallow End, she is the co-author of Unlocking the Clubhouse, Women in Computing. Again, our phone numbers, 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. Jane Margolis, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Well, thank you.
Tell us more about the racial gap in swimming that you learned about as your research for this book was drawing to a close.
It was a very surprising comparison that we walked into. I was shocked by the numbers that African American children drown 3 times more than white children, and I pursued trying to understand more about this and found out that there was a whole history of denied access to learning how to swim, and that goes back to Jim Crow, where there was violent opposition by whites not wanting blacks to enter into the swimming pools. And actually, it wasn't only African Americans. In California, it was all people of color. Actually, in the Los Angeles area where I'm from, Latinos, Asians, African Americans were only allowed to be in the swimming pools 1 night a week, and that was the night before the pool was drained. And so there was a whole history of denied access to swimming opportunities. And then there was a combination, an intersection of denied access with belief systems. And as in every case of segregation, there are beliefs that rationalize away the segregation. And there were these faulty studies saying that African Americans were not swimming because they had thicker bones, denser bones, and were less buoyant. And that actually sort of swept throughout the culture, saying that blacks were sinkers, and that was the reason that they were not swimming. And so it was this intersection of denied learning opportunities with beliefs that then masked the denied access. That was very, very parallel to what we were finding in computer science. And so we put out this history of swimming as a way to provoke people into thinking about how kids of color are stuck in the shallow end in education as well. And swimming also, up till today, Colin Jones during the Olympics was the only African-American swimmer on the Olympic team, the only one out of 44 swimmers, and the first African-American Olympic swimmer was not until 2000. And that's just crazy, and I wanted to know what is the history behind that. And the more I found out, as I said, I found parallels to what we were discovering in education, in computer science specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You point out that when people hear about this research, they often think you're talking about computer literacy, and there's so much more to it than that. What is computer science?
Computer science is at the core, it's the core of the core of computer science is problem solving and critical thinking and logic, and it is the science of how to make the computers do what you want it to do. So it's not the use of computing, which is the computer literacy, and all students have to know how to use the computers, but it's the knowledge that it takes to go into creating the software and creating the programs, the knowledge that it takes to learn how to use the computers, to make the computers do what you want them to do.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, our guest this afternoon, Jane Margolis, author of Stuck in the Shallow and Education, Race, and Computing. She's the lead author of this book. If you'd like to join us this afternoon, give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. We have a listener waiting to talk with you, Jane Margolis, so let's go to this caller in Champaign, Line 1. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call. I had just a two-part comment. I'm an aquatics director. I'm a certified aquatics director, and I've done so for a couple of years. And I've noticed in that arena that there have been very few minority students. And in that regard, I've also seen a lot of the parents discouraging them, and so the comments started to, I've always wondered how this came about and where this history came from, so I was intrigued initially. The second part of the comment was I was a search and rescue swimmer in the United States Navy, and we had a high washout rate, but even at the beginning, from beginning to end, there was only one African-American sailor that was in my program, and he made it. But he was always talking about how he was discouraged to swim as a child. So I just wanted to offer those comments, and I'll continue to listen off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
That's actually a very important observation that he made. The Center for Disease Control issued the report that cites the statistics that African-American kids are drowning three times more than white kids, and they also cite that there was greater fear of swimming amongst the African-American community, and that this fear gets handed down generation to generation. And that fear comes from the history that, you know, we talked about earlier. And so I think that the discouragement often is from, if parents are fearful themselves, that gets handed down. And it's always been seen as this sport, you know, this white sport. And Colin Jones, who is on the Olympic team, has started a Make a Splash campaign, which is he's going around the country talking to kids of color about the need to swim. And he talks about the fact that when he gets a group of kids together, he says, how many of you like to go in the water? And everyone raises their hands. And then he says, well, how many of you can go into the deep end? And very few hands go up. And he says, well, if you want to, you know, swim, you know, you have to be able to go into the deep end. And so he's trying to get parents to get their kids to learn how to swim and to break the color barrier in this sport and really encourage kids to participate. So again, you see this the beliefs that get handed down. But also, there's less access to swimming pools and swimming lessons and opportunities to swim in poorer communities. And there's a long history of this. So there again, it's access combined with belief systems.
Let's take another call. Listener in Urbana on line one. Hello.
That was the perfect lead-in. I just wanted to say to people that Urbana Park District and the Urbana School District have a really terrific program because we co-manage the Urbana Indoor Aquatic Center, and we have a program where starting in the third grade, every single third grader in the city of Urbana schools is put through a Learn to Swim program, and then that's repeated and continued on in middle school and again in high school. So everybody, every single kid is learning how to swim.
That's fantastic.
I think it's absolutely wonderful. I'm really proud of both districts for putting their time and money and effort behind that program. That was it. That's just all I wanted
to say. Okay. Thanks for the call. Let's take another call. A listener in Indiana, West Valonia, Indiana. Good afternoon.
Hi. Here's a totally different analogy. I have two grandsons and one granddaughter, and my grandsons were given those Nintendo play games, and my granddaughter wasn't for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like, well, she doesn't have the brain power, or she doesn't want to, or it's like
back to the belief system.
Yeah, there you go.
And actually, in computer science, that is, the belief systems are very powerful, and people often think that there's an innate talent that goes into computer science. And you'll hear people say, well, he's just drawn to it, and he just has the natural talent for it. And there's strong associations with innate beliefs, and that has a very strong gender component.
Well, it made me so angry that one is younger and one is older, and they're all the same, you know.
Right, right. And what I was gonna say is that it's very strongly associated with gender. And we found that when we were doing research about males and females, that there was much more time on task of boys working at the computer, you know, getting into the game, so they got more involved with wanting to learn about how the computer works. And that this was encouraged by parents and at home. And before computers were sort of everywhere in the households, there were studies showing that computers were only in the boys' bedrooms. So here again, it was who has the access. And when they have the access and then they're also encouraged, that's how they start getting really into the activity. So your observation about the gender difference is true to the research.
Well, it also goes along with what you're, you know, discussing about the racial gender, you know, the racial factor.
Absolutely.
I'm just, you know, that was my opinion. I'm just throwing it in there.
Right. That's absolutely true. And the reason why we were studying computer science and feel that it's so important is that it's become the new knowledge of the 21st century, one of the new knowledges. And if you want to be a film animator, as well as doing scientific research, or if you want to study the environment and the ocean, all of that is so interwoven with computer science that if you know computer science, it's really a door opener across many, many different fields. And so the question is, why were so few African Americans and Latinos and females learning computer science, majoring it in college, and getting engaged with it in high school? Because it is such a critical door opener to 21st century jobs and disciplines.
Yeah, you quote a woman in the book who's with the National Science Foundation, Jeanette Wing, and one of the things she says here that you've quoted, computational thinking is thinking in terms of abstractions, invariably multiple layers of abstraction at once. Computational thinking is about the automation of these abstractions. Now, later I learned that in California, or at least in the Los Angeles Public School District, computer science is an elective.
Right. It doesn't make sense.
No.
Because the heart of computer science is problem solving, logical thinking, and all of these are the skills that everyone that is studying what the new economy, what the new jobs of the 21st century need. It's those exact thinking skills. So the fact that it's an elective makes no sense. And it's a holdover, I believe, for when it was almost considered like word processing or learning keyboarding. It was a vocational skill. And there's always been this vocational academic divide throughout our educational system. And computer science one of the problems is that a good curriculum has not taken hold at the high school level. And it's been misplaced as a vocational topic. And so what happens is that the kids at home who have the computer science parents, who have the money to buy the software and a lot of different computers, who have all this kind of preparatory privilege at home, they're the ones that get the jump start into the computer science. And then they're the ones that are, you know, majoring in college. And it is not, the subject has not taken hold in schools, especially with kids of color, so that kids of color have access to this very important knowledge at the high school level.
Hmm. There's a bit of an interview you include in the book between a young African-American student, Susanna, and she was steered away from a computer class because, well, the counselor told her they were full up, and he steered her into, I believe, floral arranging?
Right. This was one of the schools that we interviewed in was a overcrowded a school, 99% Latino. There were 5,000 kids in this school. This is a school that was a low-performing school. The counselor ratio was one counselor for 500 students. This was a school that was just caught in the testing frenzy of No Child Left Behind, so that any other courses that were not part of the academic core were kind of scrapped from the curriculum. And this a teacher at this school felt it was really important that kids be introduced to computer science. He was a math teacher. He decided to take on a programming class by himself, learn it himself, and he was going to offer it to these kids. And this girl, Susanna, was very interested, wanted to continue and take programming, but the course was only offered on one track. Only 20 kids were in it. This was a school of 5,000 kids, and she couldn't get in, and so the counselor put her into floral arrangement, which was a technical arts, and so was programming. And so here was someone who wanted to learn computer science and could not take it.
Let's take another call. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest this afternoon, researcher Jane Margolis, lead author of Stuck in the Shallow End, Education, Race, and Computing. Our next caller is in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Good afternoon. I was curious to know if your guest was familiar with the One Laptop per Child program.
I am.
Yeah, and it's an interesting program. A friend of mine who teaches computer science at Knox bought one and brought it with him to some holiday parties a couple of years ago. And one of the things that I remember being very struck by with it was that not only was the software adapted specifically to the needs of not just, you know, gaining computer literacy, becoming familiar with how with the surface of a computer, but also that it was designed for children to be able to dig into the source code that was powering all of these applications, and designed to be durable in such a way that, you know, if a child did something that messed the computer up, you hit a button and literally it reset everything to its defaults, so that there was this pathway towards not just, you know, learning how to interact with the computer on the surface level, but digging into it and finding out what powered the things that are going on.
Right, which is...
Go ahead.
Yeah, you go ahead.
It struck me as wonderful. It probably needs a couple of more iterations to be useful in a classroom environment, but mm-hmm. The folks who are behind it seem to be pushing it forward. And I wonder if sometimes, you know, the focus on getting children computer literate, you know, capable of doing things like interacting with Windows and using Word and Excel and PowerPoint, if maybe that particular pathway overlooks the more in-depth considerations of trying to interact with what the computer is actually doing and learning to control it and tailor it to your own needs.
Yeah, you're exactly right on that. And what we found is that in the schools with high concentrations of kids of color, the curriculum and the computing courses were at the lowest level, and they were just the basic computer literacy courses and no other computer science thinking skills courses were offered at all. And there has been also within education often sort of the myth of technology as a great equalizer. And there was years of, you know, wiring up the schools, getting the internet, getting computers into the schools, all important, all very, very important. But often just thinking that technology was going to be the magic bullet without looking at what was the content of what people were learning with the technology and with the computers, and which group of students were learning what. And what we found is great disparities that really fell along race and socioeconomic lines. So that in the schools with a high number of white and wealthier kids, there was sort of the full array of courses up to AP computer science classes, multimedia, et cetera, so that went beyond the world literacy, whereas in the schools with the high numbers of kids of color, there was just the basic rudimentary lowest level learning opportunities.
That's one of the things that I also wonder about is whether you're going to have teachers who are equipped to lead children into a more in-depth understanding of what's going on in the computer. I mean, it's hard enough to find teachers who can teach math.
Yes. No, so you, again, have hit one of the hearts of the problems, which is teachers are key. And that this is a huge problem as we need to find a curriculum that's engaging for kids. There needs to be a whole retraining of teachers who can be in the schools teaching this subject. And it is a subject that is constantly changing. And there is in the teachers' education at the college level, there's no program for computer science. It's kind of like the whole world of computer science is back many, many decades and hasn't caught up for education. And so this whole question of finding teachers, offering professional development, making the curriculum engaging, rewarding people that are interested in computer science, you know, having higher pay for teachers so that they'll want to teach, all of this is part of the problem and a really critical problem.
Well, I'm hopeful that your efforts and efforts like One Laptop Per Child are going to help reform computer science and generally the hard sciences in order to, because that's really what's going to preserve our competitiveness in the world economy, among many, many other issues. But I'll hang up. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Next, we go to a listener in Urbana on line two. Hi.
Hi. My thoughts have been swirling while I've been listening to this. Seems to me, I took a programming course or two at the local community college as an adult learner, contemplating whether I wanted to try moving into that sort of field. I didn't ultimately, but I found it really interesting to take the programming courses because one of the things that it emphasized was trying a small thing, see if it worked. If it doesn't, tweak it, try again. And building blocks and troubleshooting and trying out the logic. I mean, putting the logic down on paper and then trying it out. And I've just come back this morning from trying to figure out where a leak was in an apartment. And it's the same sort of thing. You look at the problem and you try something, and in this case it involves several people that I can't see the evidence right myself. What strikes me about in the years that I've been a landlady and dealing with tenants is how little people seem to have the ability to problem solve on things that could affect their lives quickly. Like, how do you fix the doggone toilet? One of the things that I learned was by opening up the top and looking at it and playing it with it and seeing what if. It seems to me that one of the metaphors that you're talking about is not just getting into the computer science field, but it seems to me that logic and problem solving itself has a big application across all kinds of professions.
Absolutely.
All kinds of life skills.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's fixing your own toilet and not having to wait for a plumber, or if you can't afford a plumber, or whatever, you know, fixing it yourself or figuring out whether you need a plumber as opposed to being able to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one small example that just happens to be foremost in my mind. But it seems as though a lot of young people and people my age don't have those skills. And it would make life a lot better for all kinds of people if we broadened that, what you're talking about, to include logic and general problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Any further comment, Jane Margolis?
Well, I agree absolutely that the problem solving and the critical thinking is really a valuable discipline. And that's kind of how I got onto it. That this is such an important form of knowledge, and wanting just as swimming is such an important life skill, and really wanting to understand how these type of really essential activities get so segregated, and how access gets denied to a great segment of our population. And it's such a great irony that the government is issuing so many public policy statements about how for America to be globally competitive, these are the skills that have to be more widely distributed in our country. And for me, the issue that motivates me to investigate this in the research is how individuals are being really denied this knowledge and these opportunities to go into a whole variety of fields.
Researcher Jane Margolis is our guest this afternoon in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. She's lead author of Stuck in the Shallow End, Education, Race, and Computing. Research supported by the National Science Foundation reveals racial disparities in high schools in computer science. The authors of Stuck in the Shallow End have used as an analogy the historical color line in swimming. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with questions, comments, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. You and your fellow researchers, as I mentioned earlier, looked at three public high schools in Los Angeles, an overcrowded urban high school. That's where Susanna was a student, East River. That's where we have one guidance counselor for 500 students. Then there was a math and science magnet school, Westward, and a well-funded school, that school, Canyon Charter. Now, there's a couple of interesting things here I think we like to talk about before we run out of time. Westward, its stated focus is aerospace, mathematics, and science. What instead did you find?
We found that there was no aerospace. there was no computer science except for, again, introduction to computing. There had been an AP computer science class, but it was canceled after 1 year. We found that there were very low expectations for the students. This is a school that was 75% African American. Low expectations for the students and a belief that students were not up to the higher level learning, and so the canceling of AP computer science. And what we found was that there was very high interest amongst the students. Actually, 30% of the students there sort of self-described themselves as techies who were really wanting to learn more about computing, to learn about engineering. But there was no opportunity. So the interest was high, but the learning opportunities were not there. And the administrators talked about they just want their students to be functional. But the students, you need to be more than just functional. You need to have this high status knowledge to have equal opportunity, and the students were not getting it. So one of the really important things that we saw at that school was that interest of the students was there, but the learning opportunities were not there. And that often adults say, well, the students just aren't interested, and so, you know, we don't have the courses because they're not interested. Well, they're not interested because the courses are not there, the learning opportunities are not there, the teachers are not there. And so Westward was a really another sad case in which it was a school with high numbers of kids of color, with high interest in technology and wanting to learn about computing, but again, very, very few learning opportunities.
Mm. And now to the well-funded school in the relatively well-off neighborhood, Canyon Charter. What stands in the way of students taking and succeeding computer science classes at this school?
Mm-hmm. Well, at Canyon, Canyon was a school in a white, wealthy neighborhood in which two-thirds of the kids at this school are kids of color. They came from all over the city. So one-third of the kids were from the neighborhood. And in this school, and kids would come to this school from all over the city, you know, getting on school buses and transportation at 5:30 to get to this school. At this school, there was the whole range of computer courses. So there was AP computer science, there was multimedia, there was data processing, there was, and then all the introductory courses. But the AP computer science was a very white and male enrollment with only one African-American student there per semester. And what we found was that in AP computer science, the kids that were in that class were the kids that had almost all of this background that they got from their home and from their parents and were doing all the tinkering and exploring and learning of programming and everything at home, and then they were taking AP computer science. And what happens in high schools is different classes get identified with different groups of kids. And you know, the computer science, the high level of computer science was identified with these kids that sort of already knew it, and they knew it from home. And so it became a very unwelcoming place for kids of color. And it was going to take real proactive intervention on the part of teachers and the school to really go out there and recruit kids of color who are perfectly capable and could take this course. But that proactive recruitment was not being done. And so the higher level courses of computer science were very insular and within a very narrow group of kids. And it's sort of indicative of what has happened to the whole field.
Mm. How was race talked about in these schools? Was the faculty, the counselors, were they aware of the shortcomings and or the barriers to the participation of certain students in computer science classes?
Well, unfortunately, in too many schools, race is talked about. There's just a lot of low expectations. And what we found is when teachers and educators would talk about computer science, they would talk about how it takes a very special person. You can just tell when someone is into computing. You know, they have that natural drive for it. And there was a lot of associations with this natural ability, this innate talent, these special self-starters who get into computing. And they really, in their mind's eye, have this image of, you know, the founding fathers, you know, the Bill Gates, those types. And that's who they associate with who does computer science, and they associate it with innate talent as opposed to with opportunity. And so in these schools, often the low expectations that they have for kids of color or their sort of gendered beliefs about who would be interested in computer science and who wouldn't really get in the way of them reaching out and trying to broaden the pool of kids that are participating.
Hmm. What's been the reaction to Stuck in the Shallow End? And I know that also you did some intervention here in these buildings,
right?
On behalf of the students. What happened there?
Well, we're currently doing a lot of work right now. We're trying to redo the curriculum, get a curriculum in the schools that is very relevant for kids' lives, has the core of computer science in it, and is very engaging, so that teaching the computer science in the context of, you know, cleaning up the rivers, of testing the pollution in the air. We are working to get teachers trained. We've gotten funding from the National Science Foundation to run professional development for the teachers. We're trying to introduce a scheme of courses. You know, it can't be just one course, but, you know, like three courses, a track of computer science courses that will be in schools, especially in the schools with high numbers of kids of color. So we are actively working with the Los Angeles School District, which is the second largest school district in the country, to broaden the participation in computer science. A couple of years ago, what our first strategy was to broaden the number of schools where AP computer science was being taught. And within a very short period of time, we doubled the number of AP computer science courses. We quadrupled the number of girls and Latinos that were in the course, doubled the number of African Americans. And it was a great success, but as most things in public education, it's sort of two steps forward, one step back. Mm-hmm. And with the pressures of NCLB and testing and the difficulty of holding on to teachers, I'll give you an example. We had a course in one of the lowest performing schools in the center of Watts that put on AP computer science onto their curriculum. We had a fantastic teacher who had been a programmer in India. There was there were 14 Latinas involved and 4 African American males, and the course only lasted a year because the school needed a certified math teacher, and the teacher who had been teaching computer science was a certified math teacher, and so they had to cancel the course. So computer science, you know, is struggling within these schools that are struggling to hold on to teachers, to have enough math teachers, to deal with all the testing pressures. And so the good thing is that we've had some very good results. We're in a true partnership with the district, with some real revolutionary thinkers in the district that are determined to assure that kids of color get equal education in science and math. So it's an ongoing struggle that we're also partnered with the National Science Foundation to think about how we can introduce a really good curriculum into the high school level and train the teachers. And realizing that computer science is not an island unto itself, what I have found through this whole project is that our work in computer science is really an indicator of what happens when you try to create equal education and introduce high-level education into the schools. And it's a real indicator of how inequality is produced in our country. And it's through looking at this one subject that a whole world of issues becomes revealed.
Yeah, because you have to know that there are other areas in the curriculum and in student life where there are barriers. Where there are belief systems at work and the opportunities are different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Also, you know, if we're saying computational thinking is something that is critical, shouldn't it be part and parcel of what's happening in every classroom? And I don't mean I don't mean the machines in the classroom necessarily, but I mean that the way to do that kind of thinking.
Absolutely. Computer science is one place where it should be done, but it must be done everywhere. And there's a wonderful program called Computer Science Unplugged, which teaches computer science the logical thinking, the problem solving, without computers. The computers are not, the machine is
right,
not the point.
Right.
It's the thinking. And that should happen across the curriculum and everywhere, and it should happen in computer science.
Yeah, and this gets us back to NCLB, No Child Left Behind. One of the things that you and your fellow researchers say is that this law has unfortunately narrowed the curriculum.
Right. And it's especially affecting kids of color in the poorer schools.
Yeah. Now, there might be some effort, or there are some efforts now underway to tweak or to change or to throw out No Child Left Behind. What do you think? That's a huge question. You got a minute.
It's a huge question. Okay. I think I'm waiting to see how the whole discussion with the new administration unfolds, and I have great confidence that we're going to have really fantastic educational minds looking at this, you know, protecting what's important about it. And changing what has been a real detriment to the schools. And I have great hopes that we're going to now really focus on education and try to grapple with the intersection of race and inequality and education.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having some high expectations, right?
And some hope.
Yeah. Let's hope we all are prepared
in
the end to get into the deep end.
I absolutely agree, in swimming and in computer science.
Right.
And well, as I said, I'm not a computer scientist. I'm an educator that is committed to creating high quality, rigorous, and equal education for all students. And computer science is sort of where I landed, and I find it really important because it's so critical to what's happening in today's world.
Mm. There we have to leave it. Jane Margolis, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jane Margolis is senior researcher at the Institute for Democracy, Education, and Access in the Graduate School of Education and Information Studies at the University of California at Los Angeles. She is lead author of Stuck in the Shallow End, Education, Race, and Computing. The book is published by the MIT Press.